looked over Jordan, and what did I see? But coming forth to carry me home, a band of angels coming after me, coming forth to carry me. Service this evening. Hallelujah. Let's just enter right in. Let's sing that song, Every Day with Jesus, key of C, I believe. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus with my Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love Him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me. He's the one I'm waiting for. Let's sing that song, I Will Sing of the Mercies of the Lord. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, and with my mouth shall I make known Thy faithfulness thy faithfulness. With my mouth shall I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Forever I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Oh, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Forever I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Forever I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. And with my mouth shall I make known thy faithfulness. Thy faithfulness. With my mouth shall I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Forever I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, for He is worthy to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, for He is worthy to be praised. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Glory, glory to His name. He lives and reigns forevermore. Oh, glory, glory to His name. He lives and reigns forevermore. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Jehovah Jireh is His name, for He provided all my needs. Jehovah Jireh is His name, for He provideth all my needs. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, for He is worthy to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, for He is worthy to be praised. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Amen. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing that song, Jesus, Hold My Hand. As I journey through this land, amen. As I journey through this land. I'm on the wrong one. Sorry there. As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. There we go. He leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. And need Thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need Thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by Thy saving hand. Hear my feeble plea, dear Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet You there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Let me travel to the light divine, that I may see the blessed way. Keep me that I may be holy, Thine, and sing redemption song someday. Oh, I will be a soldier brave and true, and ever firmly take a stand. And as I onward go and daily meet the foe, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. I need every eye. Pilgrim land, protect me by Thy saving power. Hear my feeble plea, dear Lord, look down on me. And when I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet You there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. When I wander through the valley dim toward the setting of the sun, lead me safely to the land of rest by a crown of life have won. I have put my faith in Thee, dear Lord, that I may reach the golden strand. There's no other friend on whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Sing it now. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. I need every eye. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by Thy saving. Hear my feeble plea, dear Lord, look down on me. And as I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet You there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Sing that first verse again. As I travel through the pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Oh, He leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need Thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. I need Thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by Thy saving power. Hear my feeble plea, dear Lord, look down on me. when I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing that song, I'm going to Put My Armor On. I'm going to put my armor on. I'm going to stand in battle and sing my Savior's song. Seems like I've been sitting on my circumstances so long. I'm going to put my armor on. I'm gonna put my armor on. I'm gonna stand in battle and sing my Savior's song. Seems like I've been sitting on my circumstances so long. I'm gonna put my armor on. One more time now. I'm gonna put my armor on. Sing it now. I'm gonna stand in battle, sing my Savior's song. Seems like I've been sitting on my circumstances so long. Oh, I'm gonna put my armor on. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to change order of our service at this time and take our prayer requests. Amen. I'm going to let you have your seats for a few minutes just to give your legs a rest. Don't get too used to it. Amen. Musicians can play something softly there. Many of these were mentioned this morning. We want to continue to remember these folks in prayer. Some families are traveling, and we want to remember them. God would give them traveling mercies. Remember the Irish family. They're traveling, and Sister Lily Harwell, I believe, is with them as well. Let's remember them in prayer. Remember Sister Haley Johnson in prayer. She's also traveling. Sister Amber McCall is also not with us, so we want to remember her in prayer. Let's remember the Bilton family. They're also traveling. And we want to remember Sister Crystal Johnson and Brother Joel Johnson in prayer. They were requesting prayer. Amen. I want to remember, continue to remember Brother Larry. It was so good to see him this morning. Just want to pray that God would continue to touch his body and restore his health. Amen. And we want to remember Sister Mary Smith in prayer as well. That request was this morning, and we just want to ask that God would give her a healing touch in her body. Man, it's good to see Brother David. His request this morning for him. We have a pulled muscle in his neck, so let's remember him in prayer. Is this microphone cutting out, brother? That's all the requests that we have at this time. I'd like to ask Brother Stephen if he would take these needs before the Lord. Amen. Let's stand. Amen. Are there any unspoken prayer requests? I lift up the hands. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, and we bring these needs before you. We lay them at your throne. We have faith, Lord, that you can work in ways abundantly above what we can ask or think. And so those who need healing tonight, Lord, we believe that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you've healed before. We believe that you can do it again. There's many who are not well, suffering with different things. Lord, those who are away, we ask that your presence would go among them and be with them tonight and give them safe travels as they come home. Maybe those who have to travel this week, we pray that your presence would be among them as well. Lord, the many unspoken prayer requests that we all have, that the different things that we all face, and the variety of situations that we all have, we give them to you now. We give them to you as the body of Jesus Christ. We ask that you would move among us. Make yourself known among us tonight, Lord. Speak to us in whatever unique way you would choose. But we ask that you would speak to us tonight. Give us what we have need of, and most of us don't even know what that may be. Lord, we believe that you can. And so we give this service into your hands right now. May you have the preeminence. We thank you for this evening. In the gracious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Stephen. Go ahead and have your seats. Amen. Man, I just have a small request to make. I don't have any specials up here this evening. For all of my special song singers, when you leave service this evening, I want you to have a prayer on your heart. When you leave, be asking the Lord to lay something on your heart. If there's something that you would like to sing, or if there's something that you would like me to sing, Father. It would be nice to have someone put in a song request up here to have in the evenings or the mornings. So just be praying, you know, and keep that on your heart as you leave church. It's always nice to have that in the service. Amen. So I would just ask that of you, Brother Jaron. Amen. Let's sing that song, This Is My Desire.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you.
Every breath.
I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Oh Lord, draw me near to where you are.
Why don't you just call him on the scene? Amen.
I just want to be where you are, your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place where you are. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, surrounded by your glory, in your presence. That's where I always want. I just want to be. I just want to be with you.
Stand and sing it now.
Oh, I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. Oh, I just want to be where you are, in your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, surrounded by your glory. I just want to be with you.
Amen. Let our deacons come forward at this time and take up our evening offering. We'll sing that song as our pastor makes his way, our Father in heaven. Brother Jeff, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father God, we thank you for your goodness to us. How patient and loving you must be. We ask now that you would just have your way, Lord. Chase away all tiredness and weariness. Speak to our hearts, Lord, we pray, out of the volume of the book. But Lord, we just invite you just to make the book live. We can read it, teach it, talk about it, memorize it, but only you can make it live. Father, we give our time to you tonight. Heal the sick, touch the afflicted, we pray. In Jesus' lovely name, amen and amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, thank you for being here tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'd like to read a verse or two from there. We greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus tonight. How many are glad to be in God's house? Amen. How many of you are glad you have friends that are Christians? Amen. Never asked you that before. It's nice to know you have friends who are Christians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. We've broken into a new relationship, in other words. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So Jesus went from one thing to another. From a natural man, right, God above us, God with us, and now God in us. It's a new relationship, new creation, if you like. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. May the Lord add his blessing. You may be seated. The McCafferty's are not here tonight. They had their sister who was going, Sister Sharon's sister Sarah was going back today. And they're not here this afternoon. We also, Sister Anna Jackson is not here, right? She's not feeling well. So she's not here tonight. We want to remember her in prayer. Also as well, we miss Sister Carol Hindley. And I don't want you to not pray for her because she listens attentively, is very much a faithful member of our assembly, and we miss her. And she's not always able to drive up and down the highways by herself. And nowadays she tends to wait a little bit for Sister April to come up and the folks from down South Carolina way. But we certainly miss Sister Carol being here. We stay in contact with her, but we miss her being here. But we would just ask you to remember her in prayer. Good to have the Franklins with us. It's always a joy to see them and to have them with us here tonight, so we appreciate that very much. Do you have a question? So may the Lord richly bless you, and we miss all the rest of the folks who are not here. Good to have the Stevenses here back with us tonight. Well, let's just jump into this and talk about the Christian personality here again. It would not make sense for us to talk about personality or the issue of personality without making the self-evident statement that a Christian personality has Christ at its center. Right? So therefore, our goal is to teach this in such a way that we can confidently say that Christ is at the center of my life. And we want other people to see that and experience Christ through my life in the unique way that God has dealt with me. We want to accomplish that. We want to pray that way. But there's another element to this, too, that we want to introduce, and we'll see if we can get to it tonight here, to introduce the fact that even though I was born the way I was born, I know that that's not impossible for God to change. I am who I am because of a natural production, right? I'm the child of mom and dad. But I know I'm also a child of God. And God is greater than my personality. God's greater than mom and dad. God's greater than your background. God's greater than your heritage. And we don't need to approach this philosophically at all or psychologically. There's a lot in Scripture about the new creation. There's a lot in Scripture about the old man versus the new man. So we don't need to dip into philosophy here to try to understand that. After all, when it comes to philosophy, philosophers really write about things they really don't understand and make it sound like it's your fault. And so therefore, we don't need to worry about that at all. The journey that we have in life, do you need me to say that again? Philosophers write about things they really don't understand and make it seem like it's your fault. That's really true. All right. Well, let's go on anyway. Life is filled with all kinds of experiences. I'm going to take this off if that's all right. I forgot my jacket at home. Ran out the door this morning and forgot my jacket, so I keep this one in reserve. It isn't mine. It's from the Andy Irish School of Fine Wardrobes. And you know the problem I was having with two buttons? This has three. Beat that. But if you don't mind, I'll just shed this if that's all right. I hope nobody minds. At least I have a tie on tonight. We could probably make quite a list here on the board in terms of life experiences. You know, when you think about how people are raised, you cannot say that people are who they are just by genetics. You can't just say that people are who they are just by environment either. It's a combination of the two, I think. And I believe the Scripture bears that out, and the life experiences of these prophets bear that out. For instance, you know, you take somebody who's raised, for instance, in a Jewish home, in a Jewish environment. Their view of God, their view of life is sometimes often very different than a Gentile. And it would be very different. It's like somebody raised in an Amish home, raised in an Amish background. They're going to have, they're going to have probably a lifelong effect in terms of maybe liking certain things, not liking certain things, being comfortable with certain things, not comfortable with other things. You know, You think about how that, you know, someone can be raised in a certain home in a certain way, and they can come through. They can be the only person in their household be serving God, and the rest of the family has no connection with God. And it's sometimes, you know, it's a bit of a puzzle, a bit of a mystery. You may have had children, and, you know, one of them serves God, or one or two of them serves God, or all of them serve God except one. Try to figure that out. It's really sovereignly. Much of this is just sovereignly the choosing and the election of God and how that it actually works. And there's some things about personality we cannot change. There's some things about who we are that we're born with. It'll always be that way. I remember one time I saw a sign that said, I tried to be normal once. It was the worst 2 minutes of my life. So we are a combination of a lot of things. We're a combination of influences in our life, and that's what I mean when I say environment. Mom and dad were an influence in your life, and your family, you know, the natural kind of family circle that you had around you, they influenced you. And then your genetics and the certain way that you are, the certain kind of personality that you are, a lot of that's inbred. It's already born in you. And God was fashioning things a certain way so you would be that kind of a person. And there's a whole lot about that you cannot change. But what if we have weaknesses that God would want to change? What if we have issues about us that, you know, you would like to not live with that in eternity, but you'd like to see God change that? And that's a perfectly acceptable prayer request. Lord, there's something about me. Maybe I got a fast temper, or maybe I got, an indifference to people or whatever else. And you say, Lord, I just, you know, through the preaching of the word and things that are identified here, those are things I'd really like to be able to get over. and I'd like to be able to deal with them in my heart. Sometimes talking about things like this opens up the possibility that the Holy Spirit, you know what, he can change that. He can help me overcome that. Because God wants you to be an overcomer. And one thing about the word overcoming means that it's going to be something that you do, not somebody does for you, because then they'd be the overcomer. If somebody else did it for you, they'd be the overcomer. But God wants, we are predestinated to be overcomers in our time. So therefore, Lord, put in me whatever I need to overcome, whatever I need to overcome. And sometimes those things are enemies or obstacles that the enemy would put in our way. But sometimes there are things that we have in us. God wants to take out of our human personality or change about our human personality. And so let's look at this here this evening together and just see how far and which way this takes us. Brother Branham says that when it comes to, he was talking about Abraham and Abraham with grace and election, Isaac justification, and Jacob was grace. He said, there's nothing you have done but by God's mercy. And he talks about Joseph, and he's going down through those different steps there. And he said, David was elected, called, anointed, and placed, and you're elected, called, anointed, and placed in the body of Christ. For by one Spirit, we're all placed in the body of Christ positionally. By one Spirit, we're all placed in the body of Christ. And every man or woman in here that's a Christian knows that something's been on you all your life. How many of you can say that? Even when I was a sinner, I knew somehow that there was a higher power that was messing in my life. I didn't know who it was. I didn't know what it was. But when I came to know the Lord later on, I realized that was the hand of God in my life. And it was he was actually preventing me from doing certain things and, you know, shielding me from certain things back there, even when I was a sinner. Every man and woman in here as a Christian knows something's been on you all your life. Because you don't have eternal life just when you come to the altar, right? That's not when you get eternal life. If you've got eternal life, you always had eternal life. So God was watching over you even when you were a sinner. I'm ashamed of that, but that's true. And when you was a child, you longed to serve God. Something beat at your heart. It was God's election. It was God's election. Thank God for God's election, that's for sure. Now, in 1957, he says, now, you love him, you really want to meet him. I'll tell you, friends, just take it from your brother today. There's got to be something happen within you, a birth that changes all your disposition. Now, most often, Brother Branham didn't use the word personality. He used the word disposition. It's the composition of who you are. A birth changes all your disposition. You're a mental, dry-eyed, just a mental, dry-eyed conception won't work. But when a person experiences a real birth, they become a new creature in Christ. Now, it doesn't change who my parents were, right? It doesn't change my name. It doesn't change my body type or my blood type. It is rather something that happens on the inside of the inside. It changes us from the inside out. We become a new creature. I'd love to change some of the inside or some of the physical attributes, you know, that I have, but it's really hard. My genealogy suggests that I should have the physique of a long-distance runner. That's true. My doctor looked at that. I showed him my genetic report. He looked at that and he said, someone messed up somewhere, didn't they? Pretty bad when it comes from your doctor. When you become a son, Brother Branham says this often, when you become a son, a daughter of God, your disposition changes. Your attitude changes. Your all, your look towards life and towards others changes. It doesn't mean that you just have joined church. It means that you've been regenerated. You become a new creation in Christ. And the old things are passed away. And God has spoken to you. And you become a new creature. How could Saul of Tarsus be the same after the encounter he had with God? He couldn't be. Because he had met the living God. When you meet the living God, let me tell you, it changes you. You can never be the same again. And so we go from a position where, you know, we have an attitude towards things, towards life, towards people. All of that changes when you come to meet Christ and you become a new creature. So just being repetitive, he says that over and over again. He said, this is interesting. He talks about the colored man. Now, Brother Branham's not a racist, right? And this is not a racist statement. Is that all right? Brother Branham is not a racist. I'm not a racist. That colored man, Brother Bam said, he's got a disposition about him. There's a personality that goes with somebody who is colored man, woman. He said he's got a disposition about him that the white man never does have. He's got a kind of a happy-go-lucky, trust God, let the rest of it go. It's really true. Love to sing, can sing better. Whether he's got it, let me stop for a second and say this. Physically, physiologically, if you did an autopsy, let's put it that way, their nasal cavity and nasal passages are actually formed a little bit differently. And they can sing and hold a note differently than a white person can. And they're just made that way. Brother Branham said, whether he's got it, whether he hasn't, he's happy anyhow. I'd like to have a whole lot of that tonight. I sure would. Well, he's got it, and that's his possession. And he don't want to mix it up with some other race and break it out either. God made the races a certain way. It's certain, you know, certain parts of the world have a certain disposition. Like I said, if you're in a Jewish community or an Amish community or, you're in an Oriental community, all of us have a different disposition. That's certainly true. God made us that way. And God did not intend for us to all to mix together. He said, why I'm praying for the sick in 19... This is in 1954. He says, now, I suppose that us being strangers, he said, you're conscious, that's his presence. Your trouble's in your ears. What's the whole main thing? He said, you're nervous, real nervous and upset. And that's your disposition. You've been that way practically all your life, the disposition. There's a person who's born that way. But you've come to me now for another purpose. He said, you've come to me that I would lay hands on you for spiritual things. Isn't that right? He said, I'm not reading your mind, but you can't hide your life. You're in his presence. So here's a person who's born a certain way, and for whatever reason, they're nervous, and they have been nervous, stayed nervous and upset, and kind of had to cope with that. But now all of a sudden, here they are coming to in a prayer line and asking for Brother Brandon to pray hands on them because they're, in a sense, in a desperation. Sometimes even the way we are born, the things that we have to deal with will drive us to God. And when you find out there's an outlet where even God can do supernatural things above and beyond what we could ask or think, and we have hope that God can even change that. And I'm saying that to you tonight because we are the people now who take stock in this. We value this kind of a statement and believe with all of our hearts that nothing is too difficult for God. So no matter what you struggle with, there is an outlet. There's a way, and that way is through Christ and the promises that He's given. There's a way for us to overcome no matter what we struggle with. Brother Branham said, you're struggling with the trouble in your mouth. Just a couple of examples here. He said, it's a cancer. You're a mother. And I see a boy standing by you, about 10 to 12 years old. He's sick too. Something in his lung. TB in the lung. And here's something of you. All your life, you've had a longing, saying, someday you'd become a Christian. And he said, you need Jesus as your Savior. And these things have happened to bring you to Him. Could it be that God actually allows certain things to exist in your life only to drive you to Him? So this would be the kind of a person who would have that type of personality or disposition that they would become so desperate through life. They would become, over a long period of time, become so desperate through life that they would long for that opportunity. They'd want to become a Christian, but when they find that opportunity, they'd run to it. And then God, if that's true, that God actually set it up that way, then there would have to be a solution for that person somewhere. Otherwise, God's the author of frustration, isn't He? So in other words, if a person like that has a longing all their life to be a Christian, then there has to be a God to respond to that cry that's in their heart, because that cry is put in there by God. Come on, brother. He said, of course, I know you and know you're nervous, but he said, let this night be the night it's all over. Will you? He said, God be merciful to my dear brother. knowing this nervousness was born in him from his mother and father before him. Knowing his poor mother being a nervous woman. And here he has suffered all of his life. But this, may this be the night. And we know, Lord, that nothing short of a miracle will ever heal the man. And I pray, God, that if he's staggered and tried and trying his best to get faith, I pray that somehow you'll accept that little faith that he has and perform a miracle and heal him. And may he return to his home and get well in Jesus Christ's name. He said, now that was an heredity thing. So it's not something he did. Are we okay with that? It's not something he did. It's not like he was, injecting drugs or something like that. It's something that his mother and father dealt with and was passed along. But now he comes in contact with the living God who is able to change that, even though it's in the natural heredity. It's in the genes. It's been passed on to him through birth. Hey, that gives me great hope. Because it's not just what we've got in our present life, in our present body, but even things that are passed on from other generations. Yes, God's able to heal that all the way back. I think that's encouraging. He said, you've been nervous all your life. Your mother was before you was nervous. Now you go and just beginning to thank God. I believe that God has healed you tonight, brother, and you won't have to use tobacco no more. Just go ahead and serve the Lord. Wow. I really like this kind of a thing. I really like this kind of I really appreciate the fact that God allowed this to be recorded so we can look at this differently than if we just saw a man who's trying to be a Christian but smoking. Because, and with all due respect, I don't mean to be critical of anybody, but I know there's some people or ministers even would look at somebody and maybe they even come to, you know, our prayer line and say, I got a problem with tobacco. And, we might be condemning of that. We might just, you know, with a pat answer, we might say, well, you shouldn't do that. If you keep doing that, you're bound for a devil's hell or whatever else. And here's Brother Branham. Through the gift he has, the Holy Spirit's coming back and peeling back the layers of that person's life and saying, hey, this doesn't even have anything to do with you. You got that from another generation back here. Your mother was this way. Did I lose you? Your mother was back this way, and now you've inherited this here. And out of the frustration and the tension that he feels here, he's reaching out to something that'll calm his nerves a little bit. Let me assure you, young people, smoking doesn't calm your nerves. All right, take it from me. Smoking doesn't calm your nerves, and yet without any other resource, without knowing where to turn, without knowing what to do, he's reaching out to natural things in life. And you know, without being a Christian, here he is probably, you know, the devil's telling him, well, try this and try that and try something else. Hey, lots of people have walked down that road. Don't think bad of this person right here. But here's the Lord Jesus now speaking through a prophet and not only forgiving him of that, but giving him the truth on what's really going on and then letting him know, hey, that's over. It's gone. He said, beginning, he said, thank God. I believe that God's healed you tonight. Sometimes, those things like the smoking or, you know, doing different things like that, there really are symptoms of something that's greater. Brother Branham said, we have to find out what the source of the problem is. Because people they manifest symptoms of a greater problem. And just like in the medical field, you want to find out what the real root problem is and deal with that. The symptoms tend to dry up on their own. All right. Impersonation of Christianity. When the Holy Spirit, he says, not a new degree, not a new church, not a new thought, not a new emotion, not a new dance, a new tongue. But when God places his spirit in the middle of your new spirit, he said, then you don't have to act meek. You don't have to act like a Christian. It controls everything that's within you. Thank God. It makes the church act orderly. It makes the gifts work perfect. It controls you. If the Holy Spirit has perfect and total control of us, we're going to operate according to God's will and God's word. If the church operates under the control of the Holy Spirit, the church is going to manifest all the things that it needs to manifest. The church is going to do what it needs to do, right? It's when we get, in our own thinking and we get in our, shackles up and we get our own idea about things and I want to do this and I want to do something else. Let me tell you, when a church body works together and they have a determination to work together, they're hard after God individually and as a group, they want to have the Holy Spirit come and bless the service and bless the assembling together and all of that, bless the ministry, bless the people, bless the music, bless everything else, and they're all pulling together. We're all pulling on the rope in the same way, same direction. The Holy Spirit could do great things among that people. But when jealousies arise and gossip arises and people get indifferent and so forth, the Holy Spirit has a tougher time working among that people because little things start. Little ugly things start. Doesn't help at all. But the Holy Spirit's desire is to control things that are within you and things that are around you, through you. Brother Branham says again, he said it doesn't take long. He said it only takes truth. When it comes to healing and when it comes to God's deliverance and God's working in your life, it doesn't take long. It really only takes truth. When it comes to what God wants to do in your life, many times it doesn't take long. It just takes truth. Truth is what sets you free. Jesus said, go thy way. That settled it. It takes truth. Long drawn out prayer lines that we've had, we never found our Lord doing those things. He went into a city, healed one man maybe, passed through the city, and said, I must preach somewhere else. We're commissioned to pray for the sick, anoint them in oil, pray over them. The prayer of faith should save the sick. But all through life and down through the ages, God has set men aside for certain works. Not because they're any more than anyone else, and they're not anyone more worthy. There's none of us that are worthy. We're all in the same shape. There's no good among us. We're none of us good, none of us holy. It's not on our merits, it's on His merits that we come trusting. I'll tell you, you know, you watch Brother Branham. He came up in an era where a glorious after service really was the thing, right? If you know, if you had everybody shouting and singing and speaking in tongues and so forth, that was a glorious after service. And, you know, people would go home feeling that they had a great service. And then you find sometimes Brother Branham would preach and not have any altar call at all. And then sometimes he would. And you know what he was subject to? Not the expectations of the people, but the leading of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes an altar call is just a thing. And sometimes, you know what, it doesn't always fit. It may not be the appropriate thing to do. It's always right for somebody to repent. It's always right for, you know, people, if they need to have prayer for this, for their sickness or whatever else, that's always appropriate. It's always in season. But there doesn't always need to be a dramatic thing because we've always had a dramatic thing. I think it should be at the under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Because it's not about the dramatic leader or the dramatic pastor or the dramatic person who lays hands on the sick. It's really about Christ, isn't it? That's what Brother Bram is saying. He said none of us are worthy. So just because Oral Roberts is here, just because Brother Branham is here, doesn't mean that we need to have a great big drama. He said when Jesus prayed for the sick, sometimes he'd come in, take one like the Pool of Bethesda, and take one by the hand and say, you're healed, and then leave town. And he kind of left the drama principle out of it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Sometimes the dramatic is put in there unnecessarily. There's nothing wrong with emotion, and there's nothing wrong with, the experience of being in an atmosphere of faith and having people lay hands on you and pray for nothing. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. But when we continue to do that just because it's the expectation of the people or that's the program, that's the routine that we have, we had to be careful that we're not in danger of missing the moving of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's telling us to do that, fine. But if He's not, we're just doing it because it's the routine, then sometimes we can miss what the Holy Spirit really wants to do in a more simplified way. That's all I'm saying. I'll move on. I'll leave the country after we're done here. End Time Evangelism, 1962. He said, now, them little fellows, children, he said, who could mistreat one of those? By the way, you should never do that. You know what Jesus said, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for their angels always behold my Father's face, which is in heaven. Remember, he says, they have an angel. They have an angel that accompanies them from birth. When you're born, it stays with you all through life. When you get saved, you have the Holy Spirit then. It guides and directs you. I think that's a comforting statement. That when a little child is born, there's an angel there. There's a supernatural being that accompanies them and watches over them. So we had to be careful how we treat children. We had to be careful how we treat those that are innocent in this life. And I think it's a terrible thing how the innocents very often are treated in this world. And I will tell you something, that God sees all of it. God is not ignorant of any of it. Even the unborn. But when you are born, he says it stays with you all through life. You have a supernatural presence that stays with you. And the intent is that he wants to guide you and direct you. He wants to guide you and direct you all the days of your life. I like to explain that this way. If you wanted to go to my house, maybe some of you have heard me say this before, Noah, yes, I want you to come to my house. Believe it or not, I want you to come to my house. There's two ways I can get Noah to my house. One of them is I can just give him a bunch of directions. And I can just tell him that if you leave here and go out of the parking lot and go left. Now listen, this is exactly how you're going to get to my house, all right? I love your attention. I love your focus. I need you to go out the driveway, turn, hang a left up here, go up to 40. At 40, we're going to head east, okay? We're going to go east until we hit 77. If you need to go to Starbucks, you go one exit before 77 and go north up there, and the Starbucks is in there where the Jimmy John's is. It's a new one. It's really good. And you can go through, you can drive through there. And then you get back on that, what I don't know the name of that road, but you go north up there, and it'll eventually bring you to 77 again, north of Statesville. And you stay on 77, it'll bring you, I don't really know how far, I'm going to say 40 miles, it'll bring you to the base of Fancy Gap, which is, say, 50 miles, 70, 60, 70, 80, 100, somewhere around there. And it'll bring you to the base of Family Gap, Fancy Gap Mountain. Okay, and you go up Fancy Gap Mountain and you come to Hillsville. And you go to Hillsville, if you run into traffic at Hillsville, which you often do, then you can take a right and go off Hillsville and go up Highway 10, I believe it is, and you can go that way through the country and come into Floyd. And when you come to Floyd, hang a left on Route 8, and it'll bring you right down to Reiner. When you get to Reiner, you pass the Shell station. Don't turn there. You come to the next gas station, which is the Reiner Food Center. And right there, just past there, where the post office is, you turn right. Go a half mile right there to the sign. And there is no sign that's at the post office, you turn right and go half a mile. Half a mile. You can only turn left. That's Surface Road. And go in Surface Road. Go to the end of the cul-de-sac, and that's my place. How many of you would believe that Noah would make it based on those instructions? Not a high level of confidence here that Noah's going to make it. But that is directions to my house. I may not have got all the road numbers right, but you can get to my house following those instructions. So, or destructions, however you want to say it. That's one way he can get to his house. The other way he can get to his house is if I went with him. I know the way to my own house. I know how to get there. And so if I said to Noah, hey, listen, bud, let's go to my house, and I'm going to go with you. You drive, but I'm going to go with you. So I would know when the turns he needs to make are coming up, and I can prepare him for the turns. If he makes a wrong turn, then I can warn him and say, don't turn here. You're going to get off on the wrong road here. Don't turn here. Wait until we get to this particular road and then turn this way or that way, because I know the way to my own house. And there'd be no doubt about it if I went with him to bring him to my house, because I know exactly where it is. You got to understand that that's exactly what the Holy Spirit is teaching here. That's what this means. That when you're born again and the Holy Spirit takes its residence inside, He doesn't say, here's a bunch of messages, here's a bunch of information, here's a whole bunch of new Bible verses for you. Hope you make it. I'll see you in the millennium. All the instructions you need are right in there. He doesn't do that. He doesn't just give us the information and wish us luck. He says, I'll be with you, even in you, right to the end of the journey. So if we're going to make a wrong turn, He's there to warn us. If we're going up the wrong road, He's there to stop us. Whatever we have need of on that journey, He's going to help us because He knows the way to His own house. And what we don't know doesn't matter. If we know it's the Holy Spirit, we can rest in His leadership. We can trust Him because it is the Holy Spirit. And Brother Branham says when you're born, he says that'll stay with you through life. And he says when you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit. He said now to guide you all the way and direct you all the way through life, all the way to your destination. So it's not dependent on your personality. It's not dependent on your ability, whether you're intelligent or not, whether you remember directions or not. It's not dependent on any of that. Matter of fact, Noah can dismiss all that first stuff that I told him there. Hey, if I know Brother Barry's coming with me, I can rest in his leadership and he's going to guide me there. And that's exactly what Brother Bram's telling us. That's exactly what the Scriptures teach us. So, no matter who we are, we have someone we can rest on. No matter who we are, we have arms that we can lean on. Brother Branham says again to another person, 1954, you have a nervous trouble sitting there. Don't get any ideas. No, I really don't want you to come to the house here, but I'm only joking. He said, you have a nervous trouble sitting there, don't you, lady? He said, only you have spells of nervousness that make you feel like you're losing your mind. And Satan sometimes tells you that you've crossed the line. He said, you've practically been nervous all your life. Had a scary sort of that when you were a child, just a little girl. And I see you trying to do something, make beds or something. And you got so nervous, you have to go sit down. But he said, you've been praying. You've been praying to be healed. And when this lady was being prayed for just now, you felt something strange come over you. Isn't that the truth? So here are people, and all I'm doing is just illustrating the fact that there are people that, you know, they can live with certain issues and weaknesses that they have in their life and have them for a long, long time. And have nobody or nothing be able to correct those situations that are in their life. But God always has a solution. And let me tell you, if that desire is in there to be right and to live right and to feel right and to conduct your life right, there's got to be something to answer to that. And that's our hope. Because we're not stuck with our genealogy. We're not stuck with the weaknesses that we have. Because all of the work of the Holy Spirit is to make us spiritually mature and to bring us to a place of adoption, but also to heal those areas of weakness in our life. God wants to heal those things because He doesn't want you to struggle with them all through eternity. He wants you to have deliverance and He wants you to have freedom from them. Now, Brother Branham says, and I think I mentioned this the other night. He said, through the power of His resurrection, we are raised from the dead things of the world and sitting with Him in heavenly places. He said, sitting in heavenly places in Christ, we're resurrected with Him, died to the things of the world, and we've taken on Christ. And when we take on Christ, then the world is dead, and we no more care for the world. The world's dead to us, and we're dead to it. We still live, we still shop, we still have to eat, still have to make a living. All of those things that still go on. But it's not our chief love, and it's not our goal, is to be more successful or more secure in this world, because we know we're leaving it. He says you're a different person, different personality, because you're a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things become new. Is not the same creation polished up, not a man that's just turned a new leaf, but a man that's died, been born again, and become a new creature in Christ Jesus, and the Spirit of the living God lives in that person. Let me tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ has to be a pretty powerful thing. For God to take some of us and bring us through the spray of the blood of Jesus Christ, and then come and actually live in that person, and lead and guide that person, and use that person to preach the gospel and witness the gospel, and do all the other things that God allows us to do. The blood of Jesus Christ has got to be a pretty powerful thing, doesn't it? Where would you be without the blood of Christ? He would never come across that divide and inhabit me while I was living out there in the world. But God knew that one day I would come and come across that barrier of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for me. And now by His grace, for Him to be able to come on the inside and actually use my members, use my hands and use my feet and use my mouth and everything else and to use me. That's not my doing, saints of God. That's the grace of God in my life. All right, I started this on Wednesday night just at the very end there. Lots of people have defined a new birth and attributed it to, like the Lutherans, accepting Christ as your personal Savior. The Methodists said when you get happy and you shout, that's it. Pentecostal said you speak in tongues, you got it. We found out that all of it was wrong. They were not an absolute evidence in and of themselves. But he said the token is the token. It's you and Christ as persons together. You and Christ as persons together. It's the Holy Spirit, His life in you, working His own life through you. So that's the goal. Lord, I want to live in such a way that You can live Your life through me while it's still me. I'm still in this sinful body. But it's You and me together in this vessel living out the will of God. It's for everybody. For the rich and the poor, whatever, it's for everybody. That's really what He wants to have. He wants to have a blending in your life. He doesn't give us a new body when we're born again, right? He doesn't give you a new brain when you're born again. But if we can so surrender ourselves to Him, He can take what we give Him and He can use that to express Himself to this dying world. All right, you and Christ as persons together. He said, you watch the dove and the lamb. When Jesus went to the river with John the Baptist, you remember what was said. I bore record and I saw the Spirit of God descending on Him like a dove. He was the Lamb of God, and the Holy Spirit came typified by a dove. He said, you watch that dove and the lamb. What if it had been a wolf there? But God didn't symbolize Himself with that. He symbolized Himself with a dove, the meekest of all the birds. And His son by a sheep or by a lamb, the meekest of all the animals. The clean bird of heaven, not a crow or a vulture, but a dove. Not a pig, but a lamb. And any other nature wouldn't have blended together. So, this is the symbolism that God's using for us. It isn't just two animals, but a specific type of animals with a specific type of nature. And God says, when I get those two, I can blend them together. Like I told you on Wednesday night, the old me would never have blended with this church. I never would have blended with the Holy Spirit. Because everything I did, I would have grieved the Holy Spirit. Take it from me. I know I would have. So God had to do something in me. He had to do something on the inside of me so that He could blend with me and put His own life, His own nature, symbolized by the dove, in me, because that's the goal. Any other nature wouldn't have blended together. Now, you know what it's like when you take the condiments or the ingredients for a cake. You put them all in the bowl and you take your spatula and you mix it up. It's all blended together. And blended together in such a way you can't separate it anymore. You can't go back and pick those eggs out. You can't go back and pick that sugar out. It's all blended together. And this is exactly what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to come in you in such a way that it's blended together so thoroughly and so perfectly that it can't be separated. When the dove come upon the lamb, it led him, not the way he would, not the way that Jesus would, but the way the Father would lead him. Look what he says. When the dove came upon the lamb, when the Holy Spirit came, when the fullness of God came upon Jesus Christ, it led him. Not the way Jesus would, not the way he would go, but the way the Father would lead him. Wow. That's what the Holy Spirit will do in a person, or that's the way a real lamb is today. Don't you know that God only leads by His Word? So the purpose is that God wants to lead you. Just like me taking Noah, and if I'm there, I'm gonna guide him and direct him perfectly to my house. Well, that's the whole point. God doesn't want to just leave you here. He wants to get you to heaven where you belong. And how He wants to do that is not from a distance and not at arm's length, but He wants to actually come in you so that He can lead you just like He wanted to lead Jesus. Lead Jesus into a town and pray for one person taken by the hand and pray for him. And he said, I must needs go by Samaria. And he says, I can only do that which the Father shows me. So this may not have been logical, and it may not have been what Jesus actually wanted to do. But Jesus wasn't the one, is what he's describing here. A believer is not in control, but the Holy Spirit in that believer is what's in control. Right? I'm being repetitive here, but that's the idea. Now, again, Brother Branham says that, he says, you're watching nature. He said, I'm not educated, not knowing the words and how to speak them. I'm always taught in types and patterns of nature, and nature will follow nature because nature is of God. When the cattle are in the field, they all congregate together in the corner of the field. Take your fishing line out of the water, the fish won't bite. That's really true. You'll never catch them. And when the cattle go to feeding, you watch. The same time the cattle does that, the birds will also take to the trees. They'll quit feeding. Forget it. Nothing you can do. He said, see, it's nature. All of it blends together. Because nature is of God. And it's under a leadership, isn't it? It's under a control. And so therefore, he said, you notice the bees at that time, they're buzzing over their honey. They're not gathering it. All nature works together. Now, you hang around long enough and they'll go back to feeding time again. And then, hey, you get out there and you drop your hook in the water and off you go. Unless you hit a stray, right? You know, if you're out there in the boat and all of a sudden you're just rolling along and you just hit a fish that's going on his way to nap time, and you can hit a fish and you can think, oh, wow, you know, I've changed the whole course of history. It changed the whole course of nature. Well, no, you haven't. You just hit a fish that's on the way to his nap time. That's all. But Brother Bram said there's a harmony here because all of those creatures are under a kind of leadership. In the same way that they were all led to go to the ark, the ones that were supposed to be in the ark, all nature operates because the nature of these creatures and the Spirit of God all operates the same thing. They can blend together. And that's what God wants to have with us. Brother Bram says the same thing about the geese. He said, his signs will forerun his events. He said, when you see the geese going out and the buds going on, leaves falling off, it's the continuity of nature blending together. It's God's law of nature blending in, and he foreruns his events. It's always been that way. He said, if we just follow the continuity of God's word, it will never fail. If we follow that continuity, it'll never fail. Hang on, I'm just trying to get to a place here. Now, in terms of human, our human nature, if the Holy Spirit would tell me what you're standing here for and talking to somebody in a prayer line or what you want, something you've done, he said, you know it'd have to come from some supernatural source. And I have no way of knowing that. He said, but he does because he's the Word. And he's the one that can take our two spirits, like the woman at the well and him, and just blend it together. And then go away and show me, he said, just what she's here for, what she's done, what she wants. When Brother Branham had those people in front of him in the prayer line, he would wait and contact their spirit and see whether there could be actually a connection made with them. And once that connection was made, there was no limit to what he could tell them or what he could see. There was no limit at all. He could see all the things that needed to be said and all the things that were necessary for that person's healing. There was no question at all. But there had to be that blending together. Many times people would come into prayer line and Brother Branham would say to him, I see you're a Christian. He said, my spirit and your spirit blends together. And so that's what God's looking for. That's what God is desiring, because when he has that agreement between two natures and he has that agreement between two people, then you have a communion, you have a harmony, and you can get things done. Brother Bram said the same thing about Elijah and Elisha. He said he was to be a prophet. He said, I'll send to you Elijah. And there he was in every rugged way. And watch how his nature blended together with Elijah. So in other words, you take the original Elijah and you take these other four that came after him, and you can lay their, not maybe their physical characteristics, but you can lay their nature right over the top of one another. And there's no contrast there. They blend together. Because that's the way God created him. God liked the spirit of Elijah because he could get it to do whatever he wanted it to do. If John the Baptist needed to go in and into the palace and speak to the king in there and tell him about his sin that he had committed, and he did it without any fear, had no reservation whatsoever. Or if Elijah needed to go to talk to Jezebel, no reservation whatsoever. God had a blending or a harmony with them, and he could put them in positions where they would do whatever he wanted them to do. And he said, you can take all those Elijahs and lay them together, and all five of them would blend together. That's this idea that Brother Bram's conveying here when he says that it's you and Christ as persons together. If that's true, think about what this means. Think about what this actually means. That means that we can take the Holy Spirit Himself and we can take your life without, you know, like without the natural quirks and so forth. But we can take who you are at heart and lay it right on there and there'd be no difference. Just think about that. That's the goal that the Holy Spirit's trying to accomplish in our lives. That it could take your life and my life and lay it right there in the presence of God and it would not be different. It would not be you trying to do one thing and the Holy Spirit trying to do another thing. But we'd be so surrendered to Him in this way that you could take my life and lay it right on His life, right in His presence, and to be no difference whatsoever. It'd be a perfect blending together. To the point where you couldn't separate the two. Could that possibly be what He's trying to produce? Could that possibly be what the Holy Spirit is seeking to obtain in our lives? Where there's no difference, there's no hindrance. But whatever He says, we carry out. Whatever He desires, that's what we do. When we have an ambition to do something, and we think it's right, or we think it's the will of God, and the Holy Spirit's trying to slow you down, trying to maybe divert you in another direction here, and you're willing to agree with that, that is a tremendous thing. When the Holy Spirit is trying to get your attention and move you away from something that you think is right, maybe it might be a boy looking at a girl or a girl looking at a boy and thinking, well, this could be the person. And the Holy Spirit is trying to steer you away from that. And you're willing to submit to that. You're willing to agree. That's a great thing. That's a blending that the Holy Spirit wants to have in your life. I don't think we should ever get to the place where we want to feel like, hey, it doesn't really matter what He wants. It doesn't really matter what He desires. It's really what I want is what counts. I think it is a glorious thing for us to be able to say that we have done the Father's will, that we have done what He wants us to do. I think that's a wonderful thing. I think it's a glorious thing that we can have the patience to be able to let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us, because if it's Him leading and guiding, there is absolutely nothing but good at the end of the road for that. There's nothing but good at the end of the road. If I'm the one that's with Noah taking him to my house, there's nothing but good at the end of the house. There's nothing worse than going where you think you're supposed to be going and wind up lost somewhere. But when we follow the leadership, the one we trust in, and He brings us to the right place, let me tell you, there's nothing really better. Brother Bram says how God wants to bless the church. The musicians, just quietly, if you just slip up here tonight. He said, how oft would He have hovered you as the hen does her brood, but you would not. He said, you listen to men teachers instead of God's teacher, the Holy Ghost, who would teach you behavior and make you behave nice, make you be ladylike, and make you the salt of the earth. Salt creates a thirst, and men will thirst to be like you if you really live the Christian life. If you really live the Christian life, you can't do it in yourself. You got to have Christ in you to do it. Christian personality has Christ at the center of it. Every one of us would want to be the kind of a witness for the people in the world that they could see a person of hope, because hope is contagious. Hopelessness is also contagious. But hope is a contagious thing. And the farther we go in this world, with the world getting as crazy as it is and crazier by the day, and the tensions increasing and the political tensions increasing and all the other things that are taking place in the world, I believe there'd be more people who would want to have some stability in their life. They'd want to have somebody they could ask a question to and get a real answer. They'd want to have something more than a Google response. Somebody who's got a response that's based on something solid like the Scripture. There's a lot of people now who feel like, well, you know, doesn't matter what the Bible says. But allow things to get worse and see what the responses are. You allow things to get more tragic and more catastrophic and more binding in our time and more difficult in it, more dangerous in our time. And then they become naturally more open to truth. They need to find somebody to give them truth. They need to find somebody to present the right answer to them. And I just always trust, I don't know about you, but I always trust that God would make me that kind of a person that people would be able to come to and ask a question and get a right answer. Jesus was that way, right? The rich young ruler came to him and asked him the right question. The right person, the right question, and got the right answer. I trust that I would be the kind of a person that people would feel like they could come to and ask the right question, and I would give them the right answer. And in order to do that, the Holy Spirit wants to teach us behavior. He wants to teach us how to be a lady. He wants to teach us how to be the salt of the earth. He wants to teach us how to be good, solid Christians and good, solid citizens and good, solid people, family people. He wants to teach us all of that. Society is never going to teach you that. Education is never going to teach you that. But the Holy Spirit wants to teach us that because that's in harmony with His Word, right? He wants it all to blend together, your life and your habits and everything else all to blend together. But you can never do it in yourself. It's not a 12-step process. It's not a course we take. It's not a bunch of instructions that I give to you. It's got to be Christ in you. He says you can't do it yourself. You've got to have Christ in you to do it. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Let's just worship Him a little bit, and we'll have prayer to get. The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. Let's sing it together. More that I surrender, the lighter my load. More that I release my cares, more He takes control. More that I can humble myself, more He lifts me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love You more. More than I surrender, the lighter my load. To me according to Your word. Great example of somebody who just allowed the Holy Spirit to bring things to pass in her when Mary said that. Let's sing it tonight. Be it unto me. Speed. Resistance in our hearts towards the Holy Spirit. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. May there be a willingness in all of us to have that kind of a heart. Let's sing it together. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the potter. I am the clay. Hold me and make this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be. Let's sing that again now. Sounds so nice. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Change my heart, O Father, we thank you, Lord, for these little times when we can have lessons, Lord, and maybe just go away with a little hope in our hearts. Lord, all those little quirks and all those little personality things that are there, Lord, that you're mindful of all of them, and even things that we're born with, things that are inbred in us. Lord, your Holy Spirit is greater, stronger than those things. And Lord, we don't have to live that way forever, but we can submit these things to you, Lord. And you're one who desires to mold a Christian character, Lord, a Christian personality or a disposition in every one of us. For Lord, we are made in your image. We're made to reflect you. We're made to present you to this world. And so, Lord Jesus, we present ourselves to you tonight afresh. Living sacrifices. And we pray that you would just come and consume us, Lord, by the fire of God. Burn away those things that don't matter and don't count and don't belong. But Lord, replace them, I pray. Quicken in us that Christian character that the world can see. And Lord, then they'll know it's not me that lives, but Christ that lives in me. May, Lord, you be central in our lives. Present, Lord, in our hearts. And may, dear God, you just include everyone including me, Lord, include us in that work of the Holy Spirit that changes us. We want to be ready to go. We want to be ready to step into that new body. Lord, make me everything you have predestinated me to be. Break down our resistance. And may, Lord, we have a willing heart. I commit the people to you now. Pray, Lord, also for those who are needing a physical touch, and just ask that your blessing would rest upon them. But this is truly our desire, Lord, that you would take us and use us just like clay in the hands of the Master. We commit the people now into your care. In Jesus' lovely name we pray. Amen. And amen. Consume me, Lord, by the fire of God. Let's sing it today. Consume me, Lord, with the fire of your Spirit. Consume me, Lord, and make me more. Sing it again now, one more time. Just consume me, Lord, with the fire of your Spirit. Consume me, Lord, and make me more. You go tonight. May the Lord richly bless you. We don't have service on Wednesday night, so we'll look to meet next weekend here, and may the Lord bless you through the week and give you a wonderful blessed week. Pray one for another if you don't mind. Sing it as you go tonight. Consume me, Lord. Fire.